Hey, podcast listeners. It's Grace Ferguson with the Common Thread Podcast, coming to you from the Howard Thurman Center for Common Ground at Boston University. Today, we're talking about noise in cities. Things like traffic, construction, emergency vehicles, and even noisy neighbors. My guest is Dr. Erica Walker, a researcher at BU's Community Noise Lab. She's been collecting data on how sounds from our environment can affect the way we live. Erica Walker, welcome to the Common Thread Podcast.
Thank you for having me.
So first, I want to get a definition of noise versus sound, because there is a difference, right?
Absolutely. So sound is just anything that we process through the auditory system. So it's essentially anything we hear and, controversially, what we feel. However, noise is defined as unwanted sound. So the difference between sound and noise is sort of that individual filter for those things that are unwanted.
Got it. And so could you explain to me what the Community Noise Lab is?
So the Community Noise Lab is a lab that's based in the Department of Environmental Health at the BU School of Public Health. What we do at Community Noise Lab is we work with communities on their specific and unique identified issues. And we support them by real-time monitoring, citizen science activities, engaging them in using our Noise Score app. I'm just going to say that over again.
Sure.
Engaging them in using our Noise Score app, community engagement activities, and then allowing them to participate in a series of laboratory-based studies.
So why research noise?
why not?
Is it so important?
You know, why not? I say because there are a lot of people who are suffering from community-related noise issues. Just to put things into perspective, back in 1980, the United States had an Office of Noise Abatement through the Environmental Protection Agency. And at that time, they estimated that a third of the population in the United States was exposed to sound levels that were deemed harmful to health. So it's not just a first world problem where people are complaining about things because they have nothing else to complain about. I feel like it's a serious environmental stressor that is negatively impacting our health.
Now, you haven't always been a noise researcher, right?
I have not.
So how did you get interested in researching noise?
I was one of those one third of the United States population who is extremely bothered by sound. So I was a working artist, and my apartment was my studio. So it was like my workspace, my studio space, my home. And one day, some neighbors moved in above me, and they had two small kids. And the kids used to run the length of their floor, which was my ceiling, for what was like 24 hours a day, essentially. And through the process of trying to figure out how to deal with that issue, I began to do research. I began to collect data on how loud they were and how it was impacting my health through, you know, pulse rate activity, and doing research and realized that the problem was a lot harder to solve than I thought it was. I thought it was going to be gathering data, take them to court, get them evicted. But not only was it a really difficult problem to solve, there are many, many, many other people in situations just like myself at that time who were suffering in silence.
So you became a noise researcher.
Eventually. So yeah, I sold my artistic equipment, moved out, and really began to understand, I became obsessed with trying to understand how this was impacting my health and the health of people who were also suffering from noise issues. So I thought I was going to do that through the lens of urban planning. So I enrolled in urban planning school. And during that process, my advisor was like, I think you would like this field called public health. And so after I graduated from that program, I entered into a public health program and decided to dedicate my studies to understanding the relationship between sound levels, noise perception, and health.
So how does sound affect people's health? Because that is a really huge part of your research, right?
Absolutely. So in the short term, acutely, we are exposed to some sort of sound level that we process as either something we like or something that we don't like. So if we process it as something that we don't like, it becomes noise. And usually that noise disrupts our mood, we're kind of irritated or agitated, or we feel hopeless or a lack of control over our lives. And that creates a flight or fight response. So when the flight or fight response is activated, we become prepared for warfare. Our autonomic nervous system and our endocrine system begins to secrete hormones that tell us get ready to run or get ready to fight. So over a period of time, that leads to things like increased blood pressure, increased cardiac output. And then over an extended period of time, we see the beginnings of disease manifestation, such as, you know, hypertension, increased risk for strokes, increased risks for heart attacks, etc.
So noise isn't just, you know, a nuisance, it's a real threat.
It's a public health issue, yes.
Tell me about your first stab at studying noise in a community.
The first stab was going out and measuring sound levels using a state-of-the-art sound level monitor. And that was interesting. It was interesting because it allowed me to think about sound in a different way than we traditionally think about sound. So, you know, at that time I was focused on how loud things were, but sort of understanding or gathering a deeper understanding of noise, I learned that it's a lot more than just how loud it is. Sound has a character to it, and I became really interested in understanding the character of sound. So that sort of made me realize that we as a society very superficially define what sound is.
And how did people react to that research that you were doing in that community?
Well, so I was in Greater Boston. So on the day-to-day level, people were very put off by me standing in front of their homes or in a park with this monitor that has a microphone attached to it. So a couple of times people called the police, and many times people came up and was like, what are you doing? And, you know, through that I was explaining to them that it was a research project and I'm trying to understand how loud their neighborhoods are. And then they began to share their stories with me. You know, hey, you need to come back during this time of year, it's really loud, or it's not really that loud this time of the year because of this. But through those personal narratives, I began to, again, more holistically think about what sound is. So it's not just how loud it is, it's not just its character, which I define as its frequency spectrum, it's also perception. And I wouldn't have been able to understand those complexities of sound exposure had I not been out there in the first place monitoring sound.
So how has your research approach changed over time from that first instance of studying in communities?
One thing, or one major lesson I've learned, is to have a scientific hypothesis, right? You shouldn't go into anything blindly, but be very open to listening, because listening usually tells you if you're doing something right or if you're doing something wrong. So for me, I am very much a researcher who has a hypothesis, but am open to being wrong and open to listening. So for me, most of us researchers, we just get a data set, we do some statistical analysis, and we publish a paper. But for me, I feel like research is about conversations, in particular conversations with the people that you are working with. So for me, that has been the biggest transition from sort of going out there with this hypothesis and this instrument to listening and being open to alternative ideas that may not have been the original part of my hypothesis.
So could you give me like an example of that, of maybe, you know, how one interaction might have gone differently based on how you used a hypothesis?
Yes. So I was one of the many people in our society who felt like sound was only how loud it was. But through talking with people, through their narratives, I realized that they were having different experiences that really wasn't captured by how loud things were. So when they were telling me that sound was rumbling in their chest, I wanted to know, well, what was that type of sound that was rumbling in their chest? Or if they told me that, you know, nothing's ever done about this, okay, you're gonna come out here and study our community, you're gonna go away and we'll never hear from you again. So that made me really aware that we as researchers have a an obligation to make sure we report back. So I wasn't planning to start a community noise lab. Community, unfortunately, wasn't a part of my original hypothesis. But through this series of iterative processes, community is at the foundation or the core of my work.
I want to hear more about the Noise Score app, because it's this, I think you've called it a citizen science approach. It's really interesting. Tell me more about that.
Yeah, you know, like, since I'm working in a city, Chelsea, Massachusetts, that has a huge, it's a sanctuary city, and it has a significant population of undocumented residents. So I'm sort of playing around with citizen science. Is that the right terminology for this? So I'm sort of in a state of flux. But the Noise Score app is my response to a bunch of different types of feedback I received over the years. Noise is not something that's static, it's dynamic. We need something that that speaks to our stories when you're not out here with your device. We want to see what the noise climate is like in our community. So the Noise Score app is a technology that comes from a bunch of conversations in the communities that I work with. So what the app does is it's freely available on iTunes and Google Play. You download it, you register, and then you are allowed to record these noise events. So these noise events can be any noise event that you want to record, but you measure them. I should say measure. Record sounds like surveillance. You can measure. So what you can do is you can measure the sound level, and then you can answer a series of questions about how that event made you feel. So we ask you, like, well, how does it make you feel? Does it make you feel anxious? Does it make you feel relaxed? And then we ask you to pick out the dominant sources. So was it a firework explosion? Was it a barking dog? And then you're able to leave a brief comment about that noise event. These things are optional. And what we do is we take that data and we synthesize it into this heat map. And this heat map is also available in your app. And you can not only see your responses, but you can see the responses of other people in your community.
So now that you have all this data about noise that you collect through this app, through your sound monitors and out in the community, what can you do with it?
Excellent question. I just had a meeting today. Write more grants. But my overall aim is to change the way that we think about sound and noise. So for me, an important part of all of this data collection is to develop metrics that I feel better describe the sound and noise experience. So take that objective data, take that subjective data, synthesize it into a noise score, and see if that, for example, since I'm in public health, does that better predict negative health outcomes as opposed to just focusing on the sound's loudness. So for me, I'm very interested in using this data to develop new metrics and to give cities, neighborhoods, communities this data to advocate for themselves.
Could you give me an example maybe of like a project in a specific community that you're working on?
Absolutely. So we just finished a huge campaign in the Fenway neighborhood of Boston. So the Fenway neighborhood of Boston houses a large part of BU and probably a lot of BU students. But it also is a community that is the home of the Fenway Park, which is the home of the Boston Red Sox. So the Fenway community likes Fenway Park and they love the Red Sox games. But the use of Fenway Park has changed over the years to where in the summer, where, you know, the games are winding down, it turns into a concert venue. And if you've seen the Fenway Park, it's an open air venue, so there's no roof on top of it. And the city permits many concerts in the community, and the concerts are very loud and they're impacting the physical and mental health of the people in the Fenway. So what we're doing is we're going out there and measuring the sound levels during background when there's no activity in Fenway Park, when there are Red Sox games in Fenway Park, and when there are concerts. So we are using that data to support a good neighbor agreement between the residents of Fenway and Live Nation and the Red Sox to do something about this. So we will permit your presence in our neighborhood, but you have to help us in the process. It's not enough that we have to go away for the weekend when there's a concert. Perhaps you can give us some sort of mitigation, or you can pay for us to go away, you know, when the concerts are there. But making sure that the offender knows that the community is not just going to sit there and take that kind of abuse, and it is abuse.
It sounds like you're using data to help a community advocate for itself.
Exactly, and I think that that's where we should be headed as researchers. You know, data isn't just something that we should collect to write academic papers that don't really impact anyone. I feel like data should be used to motivate and inspire change. And if it's not, then is it worth collecting? That's kind of my question. But we definitely, as researchers, need to be thinking about appropriate uses and useful uses for the data that we collect.
And that kind of touches on my last question. Where do you hope your research goes in the future?
I just had a meeting today about that. You know, so I hope that we continue to influence change. And like, change doesn't have to be some worldwide thing. If I woke up tomorrow and realized that the Fenway and Live Nation came to a good neighbor agreement and they were able to uphold that, I would feel I could retire very happy. So I hope that we continue to inspire change in communities. I also hope that we open up a bigger conversation in the United States in particular about how we measure sound, how we report sound, and how it's impacting our health. So if I'm able to participate in any of those conversations or impact any of those changes, I will die a very happy person.
Erica Walker, thank you so much for talking with me today.
Thank you for having me.
To learn more about Erica Walker's work, you can go to communitynoiselab.org. And if you want to help monitor noise in your own neighborhood, you can download her app, Noise Score, in the Apple App Store or on Google Play. Until next time, I'm Grace Ferguson, and this is the Common Thread Podcast.